Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am excited about the word that the Lord has for us on tonight. And anytime that there's a prevailing in the spirit, anytime there's a struggle, there's a push, I always get excited. You know, most people, when there's a push, they could get discouraged, they could give up, they could quit. But I get excited because I know that when there's a push, that God has a word. And so I'm excited about the word that he's going to bring on tonight. Amen. Again, welcome in the studio on tonight. I want to start off by saying that, oh, my gosh, this word is really hits home with me. It's close and personal. And as we go through tonight, I'm going to be sharing some things with you all that birthed tonight's message. And just going, you know, just really breaking down some things. And so let's just get to the message. I'm excited. Let's just get to the message on tonight. As always, I want to lay a foundation for us to stand on. The foundation is not going to be based on my life experiences or my opinions, but I want to just lay down the word first and foremost. So let's just lay that down, and then once we get that laid down, then we could begin to, you know, we could begin to break it down and talk about it, and then we could incorporate, you know, some life experiences and different things. So I'm going to be going from two different parts of the word on tonight. I'm going to start, and I'm going to also be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So I think the Holy Spirit is getting ready to shift, and I just want to be obedient to the shift. So if the Lord says, no, we're not going to go there, and I stop in the middle of where I'm going, guess what? I'm going to stop because I'm going to be obedient. So tonight's word was there's something in the pressing and the crushing. There's something in the pressing and the crushing. So I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading out of English Standard Version. And we're going to start at verse. I'm going to start at verse 5, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 18. So let's just get this part out so that we can, like I said, lay the foundation so we'll have something to stand upon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 18. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. 7. But we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Now we're going to go back and we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to chapter 20. And I'm going to read one verse from 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20, 15. And I know this might sound all over, but I believe God is doing something. And he's presenting the foundation of where he's going to go on tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, listen, all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus said the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, we just thank you that you love us so much, Father God, that first and foremost that you gave us your word. Father God, your word to instruct us, to guide us, to encourage us, to correct us, Father. We just say thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you for the rhema word that will go forth on tonight. Father, have your way. You are welcome in the studio on tonight. Lord, I completely die to self that your spirit may rise up on the inside, Father God, and speak a rhema word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we came from 2 Chronicles 20:15, and then we also came from 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 18. And I know it's like, ooh, okay, where you going? Where you going, Coach D? You're all over the place. But glory to God, I think he has a message for us on tonight, and I'm not going to tarry. One of the things that I had been experiencing, if you've been following me for any amount of time, I have been going through what I call the wilderness experience, and I share this, and I'm transparent with it. I'm so glad to be transparent. I'm so glad that the enemy don't have me bound, that I'm too afraid of people knowing that I make mistakes or I did something lousy or I put myself in situations. He can't hold that over my head. You know, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to move on. Amen. So if you've been following me for the last 5 months, I have been going through this wilderness experience. And it was based on my own decisions. It was based on some choices that I made out of emotion, out of the flesh. And so it spiraled me into a season of pruning, a season of chastening, a season of correction. So I was going through all of that. And so one of the things that, you know, when we're going through, the first thing we want to do is, you know, we pray and we begin to plead, you know, plead God, Lord, oh, I can't believe I'm going through this. Oh, Father God, help me get through this. And, you know, we begin to plead because we're like, now it becomes, depending on the circumstances and the situation, but it becomes now as an urgency. And so I remember one of my old employers, they would break things down into quads. And the quads would be things that were, you know, important but not critical, critical but not important. And it just broke it down like that. And it's funny because what could be critical to us may not be critical to somebody else. Amen? And what could be important may not be important. So everything is a matter of perception, a matter of perspective, really. It really is. So, when we go through our things, oftentimes things that we bring upon ourselves, we go before God, and now we got an urgency, and we want God to respond to the urgency. And so God don't respond according to our fear and our urgency. You know, God is God. And so I think the message on tonight is going to really be awesome because it really is going to speak to those things that we go through, these trials and these tribulations, the things that we go through, and we always think, you know, we hear this word because, you know, we learn things. We learn traditions. We learn certain denominations, and, you know, we learn just different things. You know, cute cliches and things to say, and we begin to say them, and what happens is a lot of them don't even have any biblical basis. We just say them because we've been saying them, our grandmother said them, our mother said them, now we're saying them, we're teaching our kids to say them. And again, they don't have any biblical basis, but we say them. They sound good, you know, they really do sound good, but it doesn't have any power and it doesn't have any strength. And so one of the things that came to mind is that, you know, we think that every time we're going through something, every time we're going through a war, the thing we is, oh, I got the victory, you know, I want to get the victory, I want to da-da-da. And maybe sometimes we're not going to get the victory. Maybe the better part of this is that we get the lesson. Amen. So let's start with Second Chronicles, and I'm going to go from there, and then we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But in Second Chronicles, if you know anything about that, King Jehoshaphat, he was getting ready to go to war. And he was scared. You know, he was scared. But not only that, he was getting word from his people. Now, there's two types of wisdom. We have godly wisdom, and we have the worldly wisdom. And sometimes we get them confused. But see, there's a big difference between the two, and we have to understand that. See, because worldly wisdom is what Jehoshaphat was getting from his people. Because worldly wisdom is generally based on logic. It's always based on the five senses, what we can see, logic. And logically, he was getting ready to go into battle, and he was getting ready to go into battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Midianites. And when you think about all these different, all these different armies that was getting ready to come up against him, he didn't have the manpower. And so, and his people were telling him, basically, you better run, you better hide, whatever, because we get ready, we in trouble. And oftentimes, how many of us have had the worldly wisdom tell us stuff? You know, tell us, you know, what we can't do or what we, you know, or what we need to do. And if you know it's not God, because God is telling you one thing, but then the world is telling you something else. And sometimes it comes from family and friends, and sometimes it just comes from media. It comes from, you know, the news outlets and social media. We'll hear these things. And what brought this to mind is because not just the things that I have been experiencing over the last 5 months, but also what brought to mind is because there are some things that I'm getting ready to do. And people are giving me worldly wisdom. And they have good intentions. They don't mean no harm by it. They're really, you know, bringing it from a place of love and from their heart. But they're giving me the worldly wisdom. And the worldly wisdom may say, well, you don't need to go over there because, you know, they're fighting over there. So if you go over there, that's dangerous. Or, you know, oh, you don't want to invest in this, don't invest in that. But what is God telling you? What has God told you? Because oftentimes when we have these dreams, visions, and ideas, we get those because we're spending time with God, and God is downpouring into us what he would have us to do. And what God tells us to do oftentimes is not logical. It don't make no sense. And oftentimes he doesn't give us the big picture. He gives us parts, bits and pieces. You know, he may say, I want you to do this, and you're looking for the other parts of it, and he's saying, don't worry about it, just go. And so we have to make sure that we're staying aligned with godly wisdom and we're not being contaminated and we're not being dictated to by worldly wisdom. As King Jehoshaphat, you know, his people was telling him. But the thing about it is that he knows that the Lord has told him, basically, hey, you know, don't be in fear, don't be worried, don't be dismayed. This is not your battle, but it's God's battle. And God is telling us the same thing when we're dealing with certain things, is that this is not your battle. The problem with that is that we, as individuals, oftentimes we don't want to surrender control. So we'll go through a situation, and we'll go through a situation sometimes longer than we have to go through it. You know, we'll go through a situation long. Think about the children of Israel. They had to be in the wilderness, but, you know, something that could have been short ended up being a long journey. But we will go through situations as well longer than we have to. Why? Because we don't want to surrender. We don't want to just give God complete control, because we want it to make sense. You know, we want it to make sense. And why is this happening like this? And how can this, you know, what can I do to help the process? What can I do to get out of this pain? And in the process of us trying to figure out how I can get out of this mess, this pain, all we're doing is delaying the process, because God is telling us to be still. He's telling us to be still. Amen. He's telling us, you know, it's easy for me to say, you know, it's easy. We say it to others, you know, oh, this battle is not yours. And, oh, you know, trust the Lord. And, oh, have faith in God. And we say that. And it's easy for us to say that when we're not going through it. But oftentimes, us that's saying that, when we're going through it, we don't listen to our own advice. Amen? And so it's easy for us to say this, and it's easy for us to tell other people this, but it's something hard to do. It's hard to do. But indeed, the battle does belong to the Lord. But in saying that the battle belongs to the Lord, there's a key function here. And the key function in that is to surrender. And that's where we have a problem, because we don't want to surrender. That means letting go and allowing God to do what he believes he needs to, what he believes needs to be done to solve the problem. And so we have a problem surrendering because we may not be, and let's just keep it real, because, you know, we could fool ourselves and we could fool others, but we can't fool God. God knows what we're thinking, you know, and the reality of it is that we don't sometimes like how God is going to handle the problem. We don't like how he may solve it. So we, you know, so we want to stay involved in it. We want to micromanage. And God is not going to allow us to micromanage him. He's the creator. He created us, and we didn't create him. And he's not going to allow us to micromanage him, but we want to. And so as long as we're trying to hold tight, as long as we're trying to micromanage, as long as we're trying to figure out, no, I don't want it to go like that. I want it to go like this, and I need it to happen in this frame time, you know, this amount of time, and I need things to go like this. As long as we're doing that, we continue to be in the battle. We continue to be in the battle because we haven't surrendered, and we're not allowing God to do what he sees is best for us, and he knows what is best. And generally what happens is that we struggle with letting go. We struggle with control for so long that we get exhausted and we wear ourselves thin to the point where we were forced to give up. We were forced to surrender. Have you ever seen someone drowning? And I don't know, hopefully you haven't. But when a person is drowning, they're in such a panic to live and not die that they often say when the most dangerous person is a person drowning, because when they're drowning, their panic will cause them to almost kill their health. And if you ever notice someone drowning and you go to help them, they're literally bringing you under. You know, you have to really know what you're doing. You have to have some, you know, have enough strength to really help this person, because this person is panicking. And it's not until they surrender and just let go that you're able to save them and bring them out. I could think of dreams that I've had, and I remember my mentor doing an exercise where he would ask a group of people, we would be having you know, we would be having a conference, and we would have maybe, it could be, you know, 50, 60, 70 people there, and everybody would be quiet. And one of the questions he would ask people, he would give this scenario, and he would say, don't say anything, just listen. And he would give this scenario about, you know, have you ever been asleep in this dark force comes over you? And some, you know, and you feel paralyzed, and you feel like if you don't do something, you're going to die. And then he asked the people on three, I'm going to count to three, and on three, scream out what you screamed out in that dream. And I guarantee you, I've been under this ministry for many years. That's where I got my teaching. That's where I got my credentials. And I've never been in one of the conferences where people didn't say the same thing. And when he would count to three, everybody in unison would say Jesus. And so when I thought about that on tonight as I was preparing for this show, I remember, because I had that. And it's really called something, and scientists come up with a word for it, but it's supposed to have something to do with sleep paralysis or something. But I can remember, and it happens. It happens to me often where I'll be in the sleep, and I can hear what's going on around me, but I can't move. And something inside of me be telling me, "Oh my gosh!" I start panicking. I can hear. I mean, I'm asleep, But I could hear my heart begin to pump. You know, my heart rate goes up, and I start, and I'm panicking because I'm feeling like, oh, my gosh, if I can't move, I got to do something, I'm going to die. And in that panic moment, which can't be more than a few seconds, but I'm panicking, and it appears to me, again, I'm paralyzed in sleep, but it appears that I'm hyperventilating, and I'm panicking because I'm like, oh, my gosh, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I can't move, I can't move. If I can't move, if I can't get up, I'm going to die. And every time that has happened to me, at some point, I had to surrender. And when I just felt like I would just take a deep breath and I would surrender and just relax, it would go away. Why are you sharing this, Coach D? Because that's what we have to be with the Lord. When we're going through these wars and these battles and these trials and these tribulations, when he says that it's not ours, we have to surrender. When do you ever hold on to something that's not yours? If someone has something that belonged to you and they're holding on to it, when you come and ask for it, you're expecting them to surrender it. And that's what God is expecting from us. He's expecting for us to surrender. This is not our battle. You know, he said the war has already been won. So it's not our battle. And we got to trust him to be able to fight on our behalf. We got to be willing to surrender and allow him to work and resolve and fix the problems that we deal with. He may decide that it's not worthy fixing at all. He may not fix it at all. Or he may not fix it the way we want him to fix it. Because, you see, understanding that the battle is not yours, but God also means that we have to understand that sometimes he will choose to not engage. And it means that sometimes the greater benefit to our character and to our walk with him, it's the lesson we have to learn instead of the victory won. And I truly am not just speaking that, I understand it. Because during this 5 months, the first couple of months, I was in battle. And I didn't understand. I was fighting. I was fighting to hold on, to change the situation, I was going to make it work the way I wanted it to work. I hadn't surrendered. I hadn't truly, even though I knew all the cute cliches and I know the word and I know scripture, but I hadn't surrendered. And it was out of ignorance. I'm not going to say that I was being just rebellious intentionally. It was out of ignorance. And God began to work with me. And it was a pressing and a crushing. He began to remold me. He began to break me down. He began to restructure me. And I don't care what nobody say, it's painful. Crushing and the pressing and the pruning that God has to do to us to get us where he needs us to be is not comfortable. It's painful. And oftentimes we resist. But he has to continue to do that to get us to where we need to be. So for 5 months, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing to me. And though I continued to be faithful, I continued to be on the call every Thursday, I continued to do some other things that he had me doing. I was in class and I was continuing it in my theology class and I was doing those things. But all the while I was doing these things, I was broken inside. He was crushing me. It was like going in and doing surgery. He had to get out the cancer. He had to go in and begin to cut and get out those cancerous cells. He had to start pulling it out, and it was painful. But at the end of it, it was rewarding. And the reward was that when I finally surrendered and I finally realized that I wasn't dying, and God began to tell me, no, Coach D, the problem is, and he don't call me Coach D, he called me by name, but the problem is this. You never trusted me. You trusted in your ability to make things happen. You trusted in your ability to make money. You trusted in your ability to, you know, to pay bills. You trusted in your ability to get into your, you know, get into your car and go where you needed to go to get done what you needed to get done. So I was trusting in my own ability. And he had to show me that. And the only way he could show me that is how. He had to snatch everything. He had to snatch my ability. And without that, I had nothing. But what I found out is that it was never my ability in the first place, but it was God. And that's what he was trying to get me to understand. It wasn't about you. It's not about your ability to get up and get out there and work and make things happen and make money, but it's me. It's God, because without him, we're nothing. And sometimes he has to break us down because we'll get, you know, we'll get busy with life. And we'll get on a soapbox, you know, our egos will get inflated, you know, and we begin to think we somebody, and we're walking around with titles, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we think we somebody because we're articulate, and, you know, and, oh, I got this degree, and I went to this school, and, you know, we're talking the talk. And sometimes he just got to come in and remind us that this is not about us, this journey is not about us, that us on our own is nothing. Even just the ability to be able to breathe is strictly God. And he got to get us, remind us of that. And sometimes reminding us of that, he has to break us down for us to remember that. You know, remember why. Why are we, and I'm talking about the believers. You know, I'm talking to Christians. Why are you here? What's your purpose for being here? Because a lot of us is running around in fear. You know, we're running around in unforgiveness. We're running around in all these different things. And fear is just the biggest word that keep coming up. We're running around in this fear. We're scared. You know, people are dying. Matter of fact, this day, last year, I got diagnosed with COVID. You know, and I can remember the journey because I was devastated. I was devastated. Why? Because I was a firm believer that, and I still am a firm believer what I believe, but I was so believing that this couldn't touch me. This ain't going to touch me. I got faith that moved mountains, and I know this thing ain't just to touch me, and it's not just going to touch my, I'm using double negatives. That's okay. It's not going to touch my household. It's not going to touch me. And I mean, I'm praying. I'm believing that. My children are standing and believing that, and we just know it's not going to touch us. And it touched them. And I was devastated, honestly. I was like, oh, my God, Lord, how did this happen? You know, how could you let this happen? How did this happen, Father? But then he had to remind me, so what that it touched you? So, you know, so what that it touched you? Because just because it touched you, no weapon, just because the weapon formed don't mean it was going to prosper. And yes, it touched me, and it touched my household. And we were sick. We was under the weather with it for probably a good 6 weeks. But guess what? I'm still here. And he had to remind me of that. So it touched you, but you're still here. So when you're looking at the negative that it touched you and how could you catch this and you sick, I'm looking at the fact that now you know, now you didn't build up your immune, you didn't build the antibody. You didn't die. You didn't end up in the hospital. But you know, when that happens, you're looking at everything around you. Remember the world of wisdom, looking at everything around me. And I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying I lost family. I lost friends behind it. You know, I did. So it is, it's very real. And then you start seeing those things. So on top of it touching me, and then I begin to see people dying from it, you know, it brings in a spirit of fear. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep us bound by fear. And even in that time, it was bringing in a spirit of fear. And going into this year, what we're in now, you know, I can just remember worrying, you know, being kind of concerned and looking at people, you know, the news will pump everything up. And I'm looking at all these people, quote, that's supposed to be dying of COVID, unquote, that, you know, that's dying. And this is, you know, and so now I'm beginning to be concerned and, Lord, what's going shut down the world. I had never in my 58 years experienced the world shutting down. So all these things is going on, but I'm still, you know, we're still trying to trust God. We're still trying to remain in faith. But the five senses, you fight. Now you're in a battle because your five senses are saying, well, look at this. Look at that person over there. And, ooh, that person just dropped it. And that person just died. And this person just died. And so now all this stuff is around you. And I remember hearing vividly, because this had been going on for months, and I remember hearing vividly the Lord say, and I'm not saying this is the only reason, but I heard him say, you've lived your whole life as a Christian. You live your whole life for one point, and the one point is we live this life and we try to live, according to the word of God. For what? Because we want to go to heaven. We want eternal life. That's why we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, that's why we believe, you know, in faith. You know, that's why we do what we do, because we expect that reward at the end. We expect to go home. And our home is with our Father in heaven. And so I heard him saying this, and then I would hear him saying, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. And that's not just a physical death, but it's also a spiritual, you know, it's a spiritual death. Meaning we got to die daily. We got to die daily in order to walk this walk, in order to be like him, in order to be used by him. We have to die to ourselves. And whether it's the spiritual death or if it's the physical death, but we're dying daily, and we're supposed to be dying. And whether you know it or not, or whether you think about it or not, just the sure fact that you're living, you're going to die. And so when we start looking at it like that, I'm not saying that you want to die immaturely, but at the end of the day, can nothing happen that God don't allow to happen? Because we've seen the Lazarus in the world that have died and that God wasn't ready for them. Amen? So there's nothing that could happen that God, you know, that God has to allow it to happen. And so my point in saying this is this, is that when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I just lost a dear brother in Christ a couple of weeks ago, and that was kind of hit hard because, I might have shared this last week, but, I seen his walk. I seen the things that he was doing for the kingdom. He was doing some great things for the kingdom, and he was passionate about what he was doing. He was passionate about the things of God. He was just passionate. And so, you know, one of the things that I was sad and hit hard when it first happened, but then it was an inspiration because I felt like, okay, you know what? God has placed so much in each one of us to do. And if we're going to do what God's called us to do, when we leave here, we're supposed to be empty. When we leave here, our goal is to leave here and hear those words that says good and faithful servant. We need to be empty of everything that God has placed in us. What are you doing to empty yourself of everything that God has placed in you? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Or are you being dictated by worldly wisdom? Are you being dictated by fear? What are your Moab? And what are your Ammon? And what are your Mennonites? What are these things that's attacking you? And you're trying to fight the battle instead of giving it to the Lord. What are these things that's surrounding you that's got you in so much fear that you can't be free to do what God's called you to do? You know, in the world, I remember, you know, in the world, the gangsters, you know, the thing that made them gangsters because they weren't scared to die. At least that's what they said. They weren't scared to die. You know, I'll die for what they dying for what they believe. No matter how sick it is, no matter how toxic and damaging it is, they're dying for what they believe. And we as believers, we should be willing to die for Christ. You hear people say that, for Christ I live or for Christ I die. Are we willing to truly die for what we believe? You know, if God, you know, with everything that's going on, if God came to you tomorrow and tell you that he wants you to pack up your stuff, sell your possessions, pack you a little rollabout, and he can send you to India for missionary work. Is that something you'll be willing to do? Many have, but there's also many that say, oh, no, that can't be God. Who say, I rebuke you. But God is calling, and he's looking for people that's going to say yes. We can't be concerned about the things of the world. We can't be concerned about the successes of the world, because he's never called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. He's called us to be obedient. When he said go, he's expecting for us to go. When he said be still, he's expecting for us to be still. And tonight's message really should be just an encouragement to us to understand somebody's struggling right now. Somebody has been struggling. They've been going through some stuff. They have the financial situations. They got some stuff going on, and they're struggling, and they're tired. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're at wit's end. And tonight was by no mistake that you're on this broadcast, because tonight the Lord is telling you to surrender. He's telling you to let go. And in order to let go, see, to surrender means you got to be willing to die. The only reason that we fight so hard to keep control is out of fear. You know, for this 5-month journey, when I think about the times that I was holding on so tight and fighting to keep control, was fear. What was the fear? Fear of losing. Fear of maybe losing, you know, losing the thing. We got to get to a point where that's still really important. Don't nobody want to lose anything. I get that part. That's the flesh of them. But you got to get to a point is it that important? Are you willing to die in order to live? Are you willing to die in order to live? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. And if you say to yourself that you are willing to die in order to live, then you will begin to see a transformation taking place. I'm not telling you something that I think. I'm telling you something that I know. I know this because I went through the 5 months of struggling. I went through the 5 months of fighting, of trying to hold on, and it wasn't until I surrendered that the gates of heaven opened up and began to pour out blessings that I didn't have room enough to receive. That I did not have room enough to receive, and that's not just monetary. That's just not getting, you know, needs met, but it begins. The blessings come in everything. Peace is a blessing. Joy is a blessing, and I have my peace. I have my joy, you know. And when you have your peace and you have your joy, and you have your and you have God, and your surrender, and you're saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm gonna be still and let you do it. Then you begin to see things change. You begin to see a shift in the atmosphere. You begin to see a shift. And all the things that you was worrying about a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, now you're saying, wow, how could I have given those things so much energy? So the lesson being learned in this is that I thought the message was about the pressing and the crushing, but really, the message wasn't that. The message is that the battle is the Lord. It really is. And we can't fight his battle. Why? Because he's already won it. Father God, we just want to thank you for the word that went out tonight. Lord, I pray that it has encouraged someone, Lord. I pray, Father God, that right now you will meet the listening audience wherever they are right now, Father, that you will meet them right there, Father. Lord, that you will provide the needs. But, Father God, more importantly, that they will learn the life lessons in it, Lord, because the life lesson and the changing of character and the cleansing and the pruning, Father God, is way more important than the victory. So, Father God, I just pray that you will minister to them. Lord, that you will continue to lead and guide them. Father God, that we will begin to just surrender, that we will surrender and allow you to be the God in our lives, Father. Father God, that we would get rid of the little Jesus. Sometimes we brought the little Jesus up. That we would get rid of the little Jesus, that we would begin, Father God, to just focus on the big G, which is you. So, Father, I just say thank you on tonight. Thank you for the life lessons. Thank you for the victories as well, Father. Thank you, Father God, for meeting all the needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, we just give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I hope you'll join us next week as we continue our journey of processing the pain. Amen. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated.
I surrender.